Well, hey, good morning. So glad you're here. And wow, that set list is just powerful. I don't know if you have the same sense whenever you're hearing and singing and worshiping the Lord with new wine. Man, my prayer is always, Lord, then what needs to be removed so that new wine can come in? Because anytime you add something, something has to go, or something has to go so that you can add something, right? And so, Lord, make me an offering. Man, that's the heart throb of this message right here, this series, whatever it takes for the kingdom. And that is a core value of those of us who are in Christ Jesus, whatever it takes for the kingdom. Today, we're talking about giving beyond comfort, giving beyond comfort, whatever that looks like in whatever area of life. Giving something beyond comfort means sacrifice. Make me an offering. I'm going to have to do something sacrificial. It's going to cost me something. It's costly. Offerings always are. Sacrifices always are. Otherwise, they're not sacrifices. It's just a thing. And so getting outside of our giving beyond our comfort requires us to understand that we tend to live according to our comforts. Our comforts tend to guide our decision making. I'll know if I'm starting to challenge my comfort levels because I start to get a little anxious. I get a little nervous. Maybe I get a little timid, fearful. Maybe I want to start to grab for something that is safe and secure that I know. Some people tear down situations when they start to get uncomfortable rather than leaning into comfort, leaning into sacrifice. This is something that we all have to be aware of, is what happens in my life, or in what situations am I in, what scenarios, what conversations, what do I tend to veer away from when I feel like the Lord is leading me towards, or in what scenarios am I starting to get a little anxious, a little nervous, a little fearful, a little bit timid? Well, that's because there's a boundary there. And the closer you get to that, the more sacrifice is required, and the more giving beyond your comfort is required. And what's naturally going to happen is you're going to veer back away from those scenarios and those situations, and you're no longer going to want to approach those because they make you uncomfortable. Does that sound familiar for anybody? I can tell you that I found that to be true myself. And so what I have learned, that whenever I start to get a little anxious, a little nervous, a little worried, I know I walk with the Lord, and I know I want to be in tune, and I'm always trying to be in tune with what the Holy Spirit is leading me and guiding me and putting on my heart to do. So as that is leading me towards situations and scenarios that cause me to be uncomfortable, I convince myself, and that's exactly the direction I need to go. So I've got to overcome whatever it is that's causing me to feel insecure, timid, worried, anxious, stay up at night for the sake of sacrifice and for the sake of truly following God into all that He has for me. And that is going to require a mindset that says, whatever it takes for the kingdom of God. It means I can't stay in my comfort zones and grow and extend the kingdom of God at the same time. So I want to kick off this message with that right there. Because I want you to be able to identify your comfort zones as we're even having conversations. Maybe it's relationships that keep you in comfort zones, or you stay in certain comfort zones. Maybe it's financial situations. Maybe it's job situations. I had several conversations with people this past weekend, and Thursday, Friday, how you could tell that God was moving them out of a very comfortable scenario, job, occupation, into something was uncomfortable. They didn't know why. And usually that's the case. I don't know why you want me to get out into uncomfort and discomfort. And that's the part of faith. It's because He's leading us beyond what we know. He's trying to create and put us in a space where He can pour out new wine. He's bringing us, He's positioning us, repositioning us into a space where we are going to have to become more dependent upon Him for anything to execute or to take place, which always brings glory to His name. And our comfort always wants to stay in a safe place, wants to build its own kingdom, and starts to raise up little idols. I was in Austin yesterday, and I was taking a bunch of some items back from Amazon, shipping it back. Went through a UPS store, and a little girl that was working that store, her name was Peaches, or she went by Peaches. And then she had Queen on her tag too, so she's Queen Peaches. And I was like, okay. And I wasn't in the Mario Brothers. So I was it was this is Peaches. And so I'm like, hey, Peaches, what's going on, girl? You know, she's just talking, just chatting it up, just two of us. And she goes, oh, I'm tired. I worked so hard yesterday. I said, what'd you do last night? She goes, well, I mean, I worked 13 hours here, and then I'm back here this morning, and I was watching a few of my, she goes, I'm so desperate for a different episode, new series coming out. And that just caught me, so desperate for different series. Like, I have such a missionless life that my life, what I spend my time on is the next series. Netflix, Prime Video, Hulu, Apple TV. Like, I'm so missionless, so purposeless in life that that's what I'm desperate for. Wouldn't it be interesting if we were saying, you know what? I'm so desperate for the more of the Lord that I'm taking risks, or I'm taking next steps, or I'm doing things that are causing me to be uncomfortable. Wouldn't that be interesting? But that's not natural for us. So we have to develop that, cultivate that, and we have to change what becomes natural. And we literally have to find discomfort in comforting situations. So me sitting on the couch, comfortable, but that's got to become discomfort, uncomfortable. Like, I feel like I'm wasting my life if I'm just sitting here doing nothing. That's got to become the reality. If I'm going to move the kingdom of God, which I've been commissioned to do as a follower of Jesus Christ, and there is no retirement on this, by the way. You retire, you go from glory to glory, and you go from this life, and you transition into a new life. But guess what? You're still going to be given responsibilities in heaven. So you can run from them, but they're coming after you. They will never leave you alone. You'll be like, oh, Lord, you're a taskmaster in heaven and on earth. Oh, Jesus. You're ready. But the core truth is this. The mission has to matter more than our comfort or convenience. It just has to. And when we live a missionless life, we're wondering, what is the next series that we can indulge in? Or what's the next thing that we can find to fill our time to keep us and avoid, cause us to avoid what's really going on in life? And most oftentimes, the pain we're avoiding is actually the pain that God is allowing to, for us to move towards and run at, so he can break comfort zones and lead us into a more supernatural lifestyle. You see, we're delaying our encounters. We're delaying our revelations. We're delaying new understandings of experiencing him by staying within comfort zones. So God wants us to move beyond the comfort zones. He wants us to take what has been given and give it away. He wants us to stretch us beyond what we know. And he wants to move us to a place where we give beyond our comforts. We give beyond what's easy, what's predictable, what's comfortable, because the mission of Jesus is worth it. And most often, amen, and most oftentimes, sacrificial generosity fuels spiritual breakthrough. It does. Because I am giving something away that actually costs me something. It's costly. It costs my comfort in an area of life. So I'm giving it away. It's sacrifice on the altar of the Lord for whatever he wants to fill that new void with. That's a sacrificial lifestyle. And the more I start to see through the development of that process, how he blessed me beyond what I understood before offering the sacrifice, I become more in tune and more aware of what the benefit of my sacrifice is than I do my comfort. And in that transference and that change, that transforming of the mind, I then become very uncomfortable when I'm just living out comfortable life. I become very uncomfortable when life is not costing me something, when there's not a continual sacrifice that is demanded or required, or I am voluntarily giving away life. It becomes very uncomfortable for me. And this is the mindset and the heart that they're being transformed by the renewing of the mind that the believer experiences when he starts or she starts to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. He will never lead you to stay in your comfort zones. Never. That's a wrong voice. It's a different voice. So by choice and mission or mindset, I am living out myself the most uncomfortable season of my life. And in fact, I've realized that unless someone else is the beneficiary of my sacrifice, then I have a very selfish salvation. unless someone else, because my sacrifice, my current purpose of sacrifice and extending myself in the various areas in which I'm spending and exhausting and sacrificing the very things that are valuable to me in life now, it is for the purpose of other people being blessed by it. And might I say, other people that I don't even know and have not met yet being blessed by the sacrifice that they never knew and never will know that I'm taking today. That is what sacrificial living for the sake of moving the kingdom forward looks like. It looks like walking through doorways of the unknown, not knowing what's on the other side, but understanding, but if the Lord is leading me through there, then he has something greater on the other side than he has on this side. This is a consistent thread with what he even speaks about. John 10, he says, I am the sheep gate, and anyone who enters through me finds life. They find pasture. They find place of rest. You don't know what you're going to find on the other side unless you walk through the doorway in which God is leading you. He says, anyone who tries to enter another way is a thief. He says, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So what happens in this scenario is when we settle for anything less than the doorways and the thresholds in which God is leading us towards and through, then we're settling for a counterfeit version of reality. We would rather have the Netflix version than living it out in the true adventure of walking daily with the Holy Spirit. Risk is going to require me to walk daily with the Holy Spirit, and everything is probably going to be on the altar of sacrifice, and nothing is going to work out unless the Holy Spirit shows up, which declares to him that he is my provider, he is my protector, and it's because of his presence that I go anywhere. It's got to become a mindset of giving life away, because comfort just isn't kingdom. It's not. And so if I'm going to live according to his kingdom, then I've got to learn that discomfort and an uncomfortable lifestyle is just a part of who I am. It means that bold risks are going to be required of me. It means if I'm going to be trusted with much, then I've got to be trusted with a little, and I've got to be a good steward with the little that I am trusted with. And being a good steward is according to his ways for his glory and for his purposes, not for my comfort. You see, many times we spend so much time stewarding according to our comfort what he has given us, not realizing that he is the one who has given it to us for the sake of stewardship for growth and the more. And so I've got to seek him on how that even looks. So we live in a culture trained to pursue comfort. I'm just trying to live a comfortable lifestyle. Oh, we just want to live comfortably. Well, we want to make enough money to live comfortably, says the most counterfeit version of life. But yet we've all been sold this story, haven't we? Many of us have said this, well, we want to live comfortably, we want to retire comfortably, we want to live comfortably. What does that look like? Is that having enough in and of yourself to where you can trust that your bank account is always going to be consistent and you don't need the Lord? Comfortable, because that's the American way of comfort. That's what has dictated how we make decisions and what we do or don't do, our comfort. I need to make sure that we'll be comfortable later in life. Well, if that's the case, you don't need the Lord. And then it's always going to lead me to selfish salvation decisions, and no one else is ever going to be the beneficiary of my salvation. Therefore, most likely, I'm never going to have true encounters with the Holy Spirit, never understand his power, and never be able to deliver anything or give anything away that he has so freely given me, because I'm keeping it for my comfort. And most people don't resist generosity, though, because they're greedy. They just don't have enough clarity of the mission. It's not that I'm greedy. I just don't know what the mission is. It's not mission impossible that I'm living its mission possible because I keep it within my control for my comforts. And this is all psychologically how we live and how our flesh wants us to live. It's our nature. Nothing wrong with us. It's exactly how we were born. That's why we have to unlearn so many things. That's why we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, because our old minds just want comfort in and of and how it understands it, or how it's culturally been accepted, or how it's been taught to us for generations, or as a negative reaction or an opposite reaction based on maybe a poverty level that our families in the past grew up with. Whatever the scenario is, whether it's been inherited or it's cultural or it's national, international, whatever, or it's mental, there's a comfort that we're staying within. And until we start to get uncomfortable in the comfortable, we'll never see the breakthrough that God truly has for us. God doesn't call us to comfort-driven lives. He calls us to kingdom-driven sacrifice. So what I've found is the biggest problem is a lack of vision for God's mission. Because when God's mission begins to take up space in our hearts, then giving becomes very natural. Because when God's mission is embedded in my heart and I've made room for it, then that means I'm going to be able to give anything required towards the mission of Jesus Christ, towards the mission of the kingdom of God. So now what he is doing on the earth becomes more important than my comforts in my living room. My next bag of lemon chips is not as important as that missionary being sent into that foreign field. So what we have is a mission problem. Most people have to yet to realize that they have been commissioned. You've been commissioned. The great commission was sending you and me into a foreign field, maybe it's foreign because it's outside of my comfort zone. Maybe it's foreign because it causes something inside of me to feel a little uncomfortable. But it's in that direction that I'm there to make disciples. It's a commission that I've been given. I've accepted as a responsibility to steward when I said yes to Christ. He says, go therefore, go. And you grow, and then you make other people like you that look like me. This is the simple. So it means in the process, you got to get you out of the way so you can get him in the way. And so don't overcomplicate it. Don't overthink it. And when you're overthinking it, it's most likely a comfort zone that you're wrestling with. So get outside of that. Well, I just need to take a bold risk right now. This is the area. Well, I'm going to do what's mostly uncomfortable because here's what I normally do in this situation. Then do the opposite. Do what's uncomfortable, but that looks like Christ. It really is simple. But it's going to require us to overcome some limiting beliefs. Because we have limiting beliefs that keep us comfortable. And number one is this, is I'll give when I feel more secure. Can I tell you that's a deception? Because the more you find security, the more security you want. And the more security you get, the more security, more realms of security you start to look for. Well, I just want a bigger, no, we just need a bigger house. Now we just need two houses. You know what? I'll start giving when I have all the right shoes in my closet. But when I have the right watches, that's when I know that'll be a tipping point. I'll feel secure, and then I'll be given beyond that. Our security lines are always fleeting because the more we get, the more we start to have different relationships, and the more they have, and the more we want, and the more security that we see, and we start to see there's different versions of security, and our security is no longer in the Lord, but our security is in our ability to create income. Like, Lord, I don't need you. I got this. Which comes with its own problems. If you don't need him, no problem. He'll be glad to help you out whenever you feel like, oh, maybe I do need you. Maybe I can't take care of these things. Maybe life doesn't work out my way like I thought it would. You'll never feel more secure because your flesh gets comfortable in the level of security that you just found. And this mindset waits for the perfect conditions, but true faith gives in the tension. It's in those tense moments when I want to back up for the sake of security that I press in and give from a place of lack. I give from sacrifice. I give from discomfort. I give from, I don't know how this is going to work out if you don't show up, but it's that place that I'm meeting my comfort zone, my internal comfort zones, and I'm choosing to push that wall of comfort back because the gates of hell will not prevail. And can I tell you, the gates of hell oftentimes in our lives is our place of comfort boundaries. Number two, here's a lie. Well, someone else will take care of it. You know, they got money. There's other people in the church that have money. They'll take care of it. What do you mean? You mean different rules apply to different people in the church until they start holding you accountable, then they don't apply to you? Like what? You telling me the kingdom principles aren't for everyone in God's kingdom? You telling me it's for some people, but it's not for others? Or is it for everyone who calls themselves saved in Christ Jesus? Someone else will take care of that need. Someone else will step up. You know what, Holy Spirit, and like you're start to condition the voice of the Holy Spirit to cause you to make decisions that you're comfortable with rather than the ones that he's asking you to do to get you a little uncomfortable so you can walk more clearly and unified with him. Don't say you don't do it. Well, the Lord told me to do it, but I didn't do it. Well, that's because it was messing with your comfort. Or you wanted to know what the outcome was going to be before you did it, and so you didn't do it because you didn't trust God in the outcome. By the way, I've been through all these scenarios. I'm speaking from experience. I'm speaking from first-person knowledge here. But it was in those moments where I said, you know what? I'm not going to listen to that voice. I'm going to give, and I'm going to do it sacrificially. Whether it's time, whether it's finances, whatever it is that's going to require of me, because I want to know what life looks like on the other side of my comfort zones. I want to know what life looks like on the other side of my intrepidations, my fears, my lack, my sadness, my whatever, my anxiety. I want to know what it looks like on the other side of me not having control over my life. That's where I want to live. Deflecting responsibility will always delay our breakthroughs. Here's number three. My comfort matters more than the cause. And no one's going to say this, but then that's your deciding factor of your thoughts. Well, I'd like to give, but I may not be able to do. If we give, we may not be able to go on as big of a vacation. Come on, somebody. If we give, we may not be able to go to Applebee's on Friday. You're like, I ain't tithing, but I will be at Applebee's every Friday. I can't afford to it. Well, you can't afford to do that either then. It's amazing what our comfort zones will begin to convince us to do and rationalize away, won't it? Well, I get to have the temporary and the immediate joy and experience rather than the long-term benefits of me being obedient to the voice of Christ. You see, it doesn't make sense to our comfort and our flesh because we are so right now, give me what I want, me, I want it. I want the sensation. I want the nostalgia. I want the experience right now. I don't want or have time. I've been conditioned for the fast food mentality. I don't have time. It needs to be microwaved. I don't have time to wait to see what happens with the Lord and what he's going to do. But that's the very thing that the Lord is trying to wake up inside of us. He's not a pressure cooker. He's a crock potter. Some of you are sitting there looking at the crock pot. Hurry up. Oh, Lord, hurry up. There's a guy who used to come to church. I loved him. I love him. And his wife used to make fun of him. It's a joke. He's like, he is always in a hurry. He's in such a hurry. He will stand at the microwave and yell at it, telling it to hurry up. Can't say I don't think the same way. But if comfort is your ceiling, your kingdom impact will always be limited. Like you will not get to see the miraculous and experience the supernatural. You will not get to see the power of God moving in your or your family's life or people you surround yourself with if your ceiling is always, if it's always conditioned by your comforts. You won't. And so I have to see the ceiling and choose to break through it. I'm choosing to remove that ceiling of my faith because I want to see breakthrough, not only for me, but I want to lead it. I want to lead the way so my children see it. And I want to lead the way so the people around me see it. I want to lead the way because I want the people closest to me to experience the fruit of it, the beneficiaries of it, so that they too will begin to walk and awaken into what God is sacrificially asking them to do, so that they too, for their families and the people around them, will have revelation and experience with the Lord, so it begins to break open their comfort zones into being naturally uncomfortable for the sake of the kingdom. That is my passion. That's what gets me up here preaching and teaching and talking and maybe lecturing, as some of you might say. But I'm telling you, it's because it comes from a deep-rooted passion. And that deep-rooted passion came from a healing and an overcoming from some deep-rooted selfishness. And I had all my idols put in place and all my kingdom and everything that was so great until it wasn't. And the learnings come from the depths of depression and deep anxiety and depending on prescription and everything else that I was believing in the time, everything that that life and that mentality came with in its seasons. And God delivering me from every one of those, by the way, and delivering me supernaturally without having to be under doctor supervision or any kind of other situations. And I'm telling you, I have the benefit of experiencing the miraculous, and I even feel like I'm able to experience the miraculous today. I feel like the things that I get to venture out in are the miraculous. I'm even confounded by the things that I'm able to do, but here's why I know. I know it's not in and of myself, because I will mess it up. I will jack that thing up, but for some reason, the Lord is just favoring, providing, giving opportunity. So you'll know the people, you'll know when you start to step out and make a kingdom impact with you, when you start to do this, because the people around you are like, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why are you guys choosing to live that lifestyle? Why are you making those sacrificial changes? What is wrong with you? That's what, you'll realize you surrounded yourself with comfort people. They like you being comfortable because it doesn't make them uncomfortable. But the moment you start to get sacrificial and become a little uncomfortable, it makes them uncomfortable. And guess what they want you to do? No, you don't go stretching out of your ceiling. I'm going to ask you, why in the world are you doing that? I'm going to berate you. I'm going to talk about you. I'm going to say all kinds of things about you or around you or to you so you'll come back down so that you don't make me uncomfortable. Because if you do that and you start to grow in the Lord, we may not be friends anymore. That's going to mess up my comfort zone. How many know you're going to lose a lot of friends when you start following this, truly start following Jesus? When you start making sacrifices for the kingdom of God, you better go ahead and say, I'm going to have to smile and wave like the pigeons on Madagascar. Smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave. It's just going to have to happen, which is going to make you even more uncomfortable because those are the people you found comfort in. So the Lord's got to, you got to hand all those things over to the Lord. But just like crabs in the bucket, you don't need a lid on the crabs in the bucket. They're just going to pull each other down. And those five people, the people that you hang around the most, and they start pulling you down, I don't mean inquisitive and encouraging. That's good. That's what you want. I want you to ask me questions so that you can figure it out and so we can figure it out together. But I want you to be encouraging. I'm going to be encouraging around you that you can do this. This can happen, especially if you're following the voice of the Lord. We need people around us that are encouraging us to take bold risks with faith, even calculated, but not afraid to step into things that we don't know because you truly believe the voice of the Lord is leading you. That's the people you want around you. If they're not, they're the crabs in the bucket. So you may have to lay them on the altar of sacrifice. It's true, because that's a comfort that you've grown to know, and it's actually held you back from the fullness of what God has called and created you for. So I've got to let go of some relationships, not your spouse, not an option. You're stuck in a good way. You better come, you get transformed in your hearts together is what I mean by stuck. You're going to have to figure it out. Sacrifice reveals what matters the most. Unlock number one, sacrifice reveals what matters the most. What I'm willing to sacrifice or sacrifice for, I am willing to sacrifice for that. It's going to reveal what matters the most. Let me tell you a little story with David. God told David, don't you dare take a census on all the people that are under your control, under your leadership. Well, as a king, that is the pride of a king, of a throne, of a community, is knowing the population. Let me just tell you, as most churches, how many people have come through? Oh, we have 300 people or 500 people. We're taking a census. God said, don't you dare count how many people I have under your leadership. What David do? He goes and counts everybody that's in the communities and everywhere he has leadership. He has authority. And then all of a sudden, a prophet of the Lord comes to him and says, hey, David, what you did, God told you not to do. He goes, you got three choices. And the last choice was 3 days of 3 days plague. And the Lord and David, in his wisdom, though he knew he was proud going against what the voice of the Lord said, he said, you know what? I'm going to hand my life into the hands of the Lord, whatever he wants. That's what walking with the Lord looks like. I did wrong. And so, Lord, I own that. So whatever it's going to require, but take it out on me, not on them. And so the prophet of the Lord tells David, he goes, you go. And I want you to go and you buy Araunah's threshing floor. And in his threshing floor, I want you to make an altar of sacrifice unto me. And so David comes up and he goes, and Araunah had seen him. He saw David coming and he bows down to David's feet. He goes, why is the king, my lord, coming to see your servant? He said, get up. I want to buy your threshing floor. I need to make an altar to the Lord. And Araunah's like, no. Yah will give that to you so that you can make an altar unto our Lord. And David said, no, I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing. You see, it's got to cost you. David knew that worship, real worship, is going to cost me something. You're not going to give it to me to give unto the Lord. If that didn't cost me anything. And my decisions has cost many. And now this must cost me. You see, somewhere we have to realize that we've been proud and arrogant. We've gone against the true direction and voice of the Lord and get to a place before real problems and destruction start to happen into our families, into our businesses, into our finances, into our marriages, into our kids, or whatever direction. And we come, we say, Lord, why is this happening? What is going on? What is it in me? And then we begin to discover this art and this beauty of a sacrificial life. Humility will always lead us to that. Unlock number two is this. God sees and honors sacrificial generosity. Remember the lady, the woman with the two mites. You see, all the wealthy were giving from their richness for comfort. And she comes up with these two mites. These two, everything that she had. And Jesus actually says it this way. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. You see, God looks past the monetary things. He's looking at how you're willing to release or let go of and bring in. He's testing. Yeah, okay, that's a great amount if it's talking about in comparison to someone else. But is it a great amount to you? Because many will give from their comforts. But he says, this lady, this woman, she gave everything she had. He looks past the monetary and he looks at the condition and the willingness of the heart. He looks at who is really and from where are they really giving for the sake of his kingdom, his ways. And if you don't think that God cares about giving, Jesus was standing over the offering. He says, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. So this erases somebody else will do it mentality. This erases that I don't have a responsibility, a kingdom stewardship responsibility to give. This is my responsibility. God is testing my heart. And even David, he goes, the scripture was, search me, O Lord. See if there be any wicked way inside of me. You know what a wicked way is? One that's not willing to be obedient to the word of God, to the voice of God, to the ways of God. Number three, leave it here. The more we release, the more room we make for kingdom power. So in the kingdom of God, we've got to lead and love and steward with open hands. And there's a kingdom principle in this that says you only get to keep what you give away, which is crazy. Makes no sense. So God, you gave it to me. It doesn't belong to me anyway. So you give or you take it anytime you want. You put it in my hands and you can lead me to give it away anytime that you would like. Whatever it is, the more we release, the more room we make for the kingdom power. So the more I'm willing to let go, the more I'm willing to hand over, the more I'm willing to give away from sacrificial living, the more I'm actually making room for the more that God has for me on the other side of that giving that I never understood that He could bring. That's when you're living. That's when you truly start to live. So why don't you stand up? Because I really feel like that's the thing where we need to pray into.